We're just talking about abiding in Christ and spending time with the Lord and being within in His presence. And from the first day, the first Sunday when we started with the invitation that Jesus said, come to me, all you are burdened and weary, and I will give you rest. And it was just beautiful that we could have started there. And since then, we spoke about, well, we mentioned paths of grace, is what we called it. We know grace is sometimes unmerited favor, but it's also a divine empowerment. It's also a divine empowerment to live holy. And God still wants us to live holy. He still wants us to do the right things. Don't just want us to just do whatever. And I think that sometimes we get lost in this, in the maze of thinking that we just want to package God with all the other stuff that we are doing. We just want to put Him in the box of all the other stuff, and then we just want to live life. But we looked at last week, even we looked at Zacchaeus, where he just wanted to see Jesus. He just wanted to see God, and he climbed in that tree, and our Jesus walk past, and his path intersects with the life of Zacchaeus. Bartimaeus, we know, he just called out. And there's many examples like that in the Word, where the guy just called out and said, Jesus, come to me. A woman that grabs his cloak, where their paths just intersect with the path of Jesus. And we realize that that is what I called, and many others, they call it the path of grace, where our lives just intersect with the life of Jesus. And then our lives change. Then things happen. And it's just beautiful. And sometimes we think about spiritual disciplines of prayer, of worship, of reading out the Bible. We think of these things as duty. We think of it as things that I just need to do. This is just the right thing to do. And I realize that as we do these things, it helps us just to come in this path of grace, where we can see something of Jesus, where we can experience something of Jesus, where we can get to know God. And that's where we actually came to, and he said, that is our price, that is the price, to know God. That is the beauty, that is the all in all, is to know God. And I really trust that we can move from duty to delight. Where it's not a duty, where it's not like we must do these things. It is delight. And that is something that we're starting to experience even through the prayer and the fast and coming here on a Sunday morning. I trust that everyone will experience Jesus, will experience something of God, something of God that comes and He changes our lives. Where you come into this path of grace, where God is just coming and He's just doing something. And this week, Lucy, my little one, 5 years old, she came to us in the room and said, Daddy, and Mommy, can I have a rusk? I said, yeah, you can have a rusk, and we'll check. So what did you have already? No, I had an apple and this and this and this. We don't want them to go wild. And she said, Daddy, grown-ups, can they just eat whatever they want to eat? I said, yes, they can. I said, that is so nice. They can just eat whatever. And then now I lost my train of thought. But that was just beautiful. As he just said, they can just do whatever. Well, that's what I wanted to say. So sometimes we go to the doctor. And the doctor will look at us and they say, and then eventually after a few things, sometimes they will tell us, listen, you must eat healthy, you must exercise, get enough sleep. This is good for you. And they say, oh, I know these things, I know this. So why don't you do it? Well, I don't really have a desire to do it. And that is what we do. We go on with life. Now, certain things that's good. It's good for us. But we just, it's nice to know. It's nice to fall back. It's nice to go back there. And I realized that our lives, there's a few guys that, that wrote around this, our life is centered around awe, things that we are in awe of. And all the things that we want, things that we strive for. If I'm in awe of a new Hilux Bucky, man, then I'm going to structure my life to get there. If I'm in awe of something, you structure your life accordingly. If there's something that you want, you're going to structure some things because you want to get there. And most often these things are stuff that we want. Stuff that we want to make our life work. We want money, we want friendship, we want health, we want all these things. And we structure our life accordingly to get it. And then I read in the Bible, Psalm 37, verse 4, where God said, delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. And I realized the order is just flipped around. Where he said, delight in me. Delight in me. So I think, wow, God, this is something, it's actually verse 4. This is something that's amazing where, so how often we want to do the prayer, we're fasting, we're pressing in, and we think, okay, this is the right thing. Sunday morning, I'm going to come to church, this is the right thing. Then I open my Bible, then I read a bit, and then I feel, okay. And then I pursue all these other stuff again. Then I just go on and I just go on and I pursue all the stuff that I want, all my joys, all my what I'm awe of, all these things. And I just realized through this, there's a place where God just wants us to move from duty to delight. Where we can make that shift. Sometimes there's a place where we just have to press in a little bit longer. There's a friend of mine, he says, he just decided he's just going to pray in tongues. He's going to pray in tongues for 15 minutes a day, every day. No list, no nothing. And he said it takes him about 10 minutes to get to a place of praying, where we've pressed through and where everything is just, now it's like a blanket sheet. Now God can just come and speak. He said it takes him about 10 minutes to get to that place of just where he just lay down all his trouble and all his wants and all his desires. And where God can just come in and he can just speak. And I remember so many moments of spending time with God where mostly when I wanted to make big decisions, where I just take the word and I just start reading. And I realized that it takes quite a bit of just reading and then know that we can multitask. I know the girls are much better at multitasking than the guys. These often stop me, says Yaku, just make the coffee and then talk again. Just finish what you're busy with. So it takes a while just to go through all the clutter. And all the stuff. And then in spending time with the word or in worship, somewhere something just jumps up. And sometimes it's a thought that comes, it's not even what I'm thinking about, it's not even what I'm praying about, but it's something that changed my life. Something that changed my life. And that is for me something, that is a delight. When that happens, I'm going to say, whoa, God, this is amazing. This is amazing. Just the other day, again, I was just walking. Yeah, I was, I think it was a Monday, and we worshiping. And suddenly I get this thought about someone, and there's something that's bothering me. So I just started praying, and a week later, the report came out, and everything that's happening in that person's life. And I just said, Lord, you are just so amazing that you reveal all these things, that you reveal these things to me. I remember going to get the points for my last exam. It was a kanselier's examen, or that one that you need and you can get your degree. On my bicycle going to that place that day, and as I was cycling there, I got this fear in my heart. But then I prayed about it. It was quite a journey on my bicycle, so I had time to pray and everything. And And I just prayed and prayed, and eventually I felt God telling me that this is warning me of something that's to come. I said, okay, Lord, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but help me to get through this. I just pray that you will just keep me safe, that you will help me. So when I got there, they say, sorry, you didn't pass the exam. And then suddenly I remember what God has told me. I remember my praying. And I just said, can I speak to the professor? Because I think there's a mistake here. Because then all that fear jumped back in my heart. Something that I've worked through on my bicycle. And I walked in his office that day and I said to him, sir, I think there's maybe a mistake here. But can I go through my paper? Can I double check? He said, it's fine. You can take your paper, sit there in the corner, and go through and see if you pick up any mistakes. Just after that, another guy came in there, and I think his heart was not prepared for what's going to happen. And again, I said to him, sorry, you also didn't pass. And he went off. He said, nah, 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 nah. He came into the office with the professor. I think he also asked to speak to the professor. He came in there, and he was such a fight. And the professor, bah, bah. I was just hiding in the corner. I said, just leave me alone. And then he said, go away, go away. And then the guy's out of the office. And I thought, he missed it. Yeah, I'm going through my paper. I don't know what happened right here. But I just realized that God prepared me for what's going to happen. And I was going through, and eventually I found so many things. I just gave it back. I said, sir, this and this and this. He said, Yaku, congratulations. You've got your degree. And I walked out of there, and I just said, wow, Lord, what was that? Such a battle. The guy could have just marked the stuff the first time. And I realized that, and through these stories, there's just more and more and more of things that God is doing. Things that only God can do. And I think so often we just stop short. We read our Bible, we start worshiping, and it's only a duty. It feels like it's only a duty. The prized possession, that is to know God. That is the prize. That is what's awesome. That is amazing. To know God. And even then, when He starts communicating with us and starts speaking to us, that is beautiful. And I realized God is, He's just calling us back to our first love. We know He says that in the Revelation to the church, but that is what I just trying in this time that we're going through, time of prayer and fasting. I just say, Lord, I just want to come back to my first love. I just want to, from spending time with You, that delight in who You are. And who You are. And sometimes it's just something that we must break through. The Tygerberger, the local newspaper, most of you will know. Man, they said there's a bird in a guy's garden. And people flew all over the country to see this bird. And maybe some of you are also bird watchers. I know there's a lot of amazing things out there. I was just surprised that for a bird, that the bird was 4 days in this guy's garden. People from all over South Africa came through. I think a few people came from other parts of the world to see this bird, because it's a very rare bird. And I just realized that they are in awe of that bird. They're in awe of birds. That's something of birds that capture their hearts. So they will drive, they will go through, they will do whatever to see. They will do whatever just to be in that garden. They've got the picture of, it's a professor in something, another professor. But in his garden there, and there's people just sitting with all their cameras and everything, and just waiting for that shot, that moment where the bird comes. Often we do the same in the Kruger National Park, Etosha, everything. I remember that woman, it was an old lady sitting in front of me, and when she took away her blanket, I thought it was over the knees and just keeping warm. But then I saw the camera. She was just protecting a monster of a camera. just to get that perfect shot. And we sat there one night, the lion roared in Etosha. I told Lee, no, man, it's not a lion. She said, that's a lion. I said, no, it can't be. Eventually, when you realize everybody is at the water, nobody is around the tents, you go, okay, it was a lion. Let's go. And we came there, and everybody is just waiting, sitting, looking for that shot. And I realized there's something of that. We are in awe of so many things. And we will wait for it. We will sit there. We will go through places. If it's music, if it's theater, whatever. There's something that captures our hearts. Something beautiful, it always captures our hearts. I've ran up mountains to see a sunset, to see a sunrise, because there's something that captures my heart. But all of these things is just fingers that point us to God. All of this is just a finger that points us to the Almighty God, the creator of them all. So what happens is we get so excited about the creation. We get so excited about stuff that's created that we miss the creator of it all. And I realized that in this time that God just want to come and he just want to say, just come back to me. Because all matters. Are you in awe of me, the creator of everything? Or are you just in awe of what I've created? And that is the beauty of it all. In Psalm 27, I quickly want to probably go there. David is writing that psalm. And just to, for the intro for that, David is probably running. He's running for his life. There's two times. The Bible said David, the man after God's heart. And we always know how he messed up and how he was walking on the roof and not supposed to walk on the roof, supposed to do stuff, other things at the time. And we see how he bounced back every time. And eventually our God said, he's a man after my own heart. And when he wrote the psalm, he was maybe running from Saul, King Saul, running for his life, going to caves and wherever, just running. And or it might have been where his son Absalom wanted to become king. So now he says, if you want to become king, you must kill the king, or you're going to capture the king. It's not like you're just going to vote and one person move aside and the other one move in. So there's going to be a war, and that is the stuff that he was going through. Sometimes running for his life from Saul, or his own son wanted to kill him, or his own son wanted to get his power, get the throne. And this is David, and this is, he's writing the psalm, and he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. And it's amazing how he said, the Lord is light. Sometimes this is what we do. We say, the Lord is light. The Lord is salvation. The Lord is strong. The Lord is amazing. The Lord is beautiful. And what do we leave out? What's the word that we leave out? It's my. He said, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my stronghold. For him, it wasn't a thing that he read any books. He didn't just go places and experience and hear testimonies. And he had a relationship with God. He experienced it. That's why he could have got his delight in God. For him, it wasn't someone coming here and say, God is good, and God is this, and God is that. For him, it was, the Lord is my light. I know light. I know truth. I know breakthrough. I know this. Stronghold. I know a place of safety. I know a refuge place. That is my God. That is the God who I've met when I was looking after the sheep. When the lion came, when the bear came, I realized God is my salvation. He saved me. That day he saved me, will save me again. And that is beautiful. That is not something that he read books about. That is his own testimony. That is his own knowing God. And I realized God wants to bring us back to a place where each one of us we will say, not God is good, you say, God is good for me. God is my light. He's my salvation. He's my breakthrough. Whatever it is, each one of us, we've got something that God is for you. I remember David, when he takes the cheese and bread and everything to his brothers, and they're all there, and Goliath came, and they're on the plains, and they've got the armies of Israel on the one side, and the Philistines on the other side, and there's a massive war. And David walks in there, and he brings it, and then he hears all the stuff that's going on. And he says, so why are you not fighting? Why is nobody going up to fight? And they were just afraid. They were just afraid of Goliath. And the beautiful thing for me is, with David at his place, he had a fear of God that was more than any other fear. He had an awe of God that's beyond anything else. But he also had his experiences with God. He had a place of intimacy, a place of relationship, where he was walking with God, where for him it was just obvious, I can go up. Because my God is with me and He will deliver me. Like He did in the field. Like He did when I was with the sheep. So there's a place where David knew with God that was foreign for these armies of Israel. They didn't know it. All that they saw was the fear of Goliath, the fear of the man that's coming in front of them. And they didn't know what to do. And they were paralyzed. And that is what fear does. Fear paralyzes. My fear paralyzed me sometimes. You don't want to speak, you don't want to say, you don't want to move, you don't want to go somewhere. You're paralyzed. And some say this one fear replaces another fear. We don't fear everything. There's usually something, there's all these storybooks that I read for the children at night, and it's a mouse, and he's afraid of the snake. And then another thing comes that's bigger, and then both of them are afraid of the bigger thing. Then it's a monster. Then this, then this, then this. The one fear just replaced the other fear. And often, when you have fear, there's also a healthy fear. There's an awe of God that can actually replace the fear of all the stuff in our lives. There's a place where we can delight in God. It can replace all these other things in our lives. If we go on and we read that psalm, so the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. When an army besieged me, these things, must remember, these things were very real for David. We read it, oh, when an army besieged me, I see armies on TV and the desert and whatever. We see it on CNN. We watch YouTube clips to see how the army, how they operate. When he speaks, he said, this is real stuff. The army is around your house. So what will you do when the army is right there around your house? Then you pray for bigger weapons. That's maybe what you will do. For weapons. For stuff. You just want stuff. The boys asked me this also this week, just chatting at dinner table. He said, Daddy, so tell us about your life-threatening situations where you thought you're going to die. So I said, okay, so where must I start? I'll share one from Malawi, one from Mozambique, usually linked to a few mission trips, some of them. But it was always good. So I just shared a few stories with them, a few moments. And I said to the man, in that moment, I just cried out to Jesus. A few times I didn't know what's going to happen. But God came in and He changed something. God came in and something changed. So sometimes we have these armies around our homes. We've got armies, stuff around our hearts. Something that we are afraid of. We pray and we want to know, what must I do now? How must I advance? And David goes from that He said, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. He goes from armies that surround him, from places where people want to kill him, goes straight into, one thing I desire is to be with my God, to be in His house, to be in His temple, to delight in Him. I think David just understood something of being in the presence of God. We're just there and you just surrender. We surrender our lives, our stuff to God. And God is he just wants to walk in. Because we are privileged that we can have a relationship with the Almighty God. That's the privilege. That's the beauty of this all. And He wants to come in and He wants to just dine with us, spend time with us, that we can delight in Him, that we can see Him for who He really is, that we can delight in Him. And it's just going to go on and on and on. And all that we see in this world, all the stuff that wow us, all the stuff, it's just things that point us to God, of a lifetime of worship. And I realized that when we're in awe of stuff, when we are in awe of things that were created, and when our awe is not on God, then what we do, prayer, worship, all these things will feel like a duty. It will feel like duty. Because our awe is not in God. Our awe is on stuff. Coming to church will feel like a duty. And God is saying, just shift the awe. Come to be in awe of me again. Come to be in awe of me. And you will move from duty to delight. You will start delighting yourself in the Lord. We will move into a new place, in a new experience of delight in God. That's where Isaiah, I just want to read that for us, Isaiah 6. I've got it here somewhere. It's not there. Where Isaiah 6 verse 3. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. As surely as the sun rises, He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us search for Him. And then God answers, and this is a beautiful thing. He says, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire your love. I desire your heart. I don't desire all the stuff that we are doing. An acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Sometimes we get so trapped in the stuff. We get so trapped in the feel like this is what I must do. These are the right things to do. It's only a way. It's only ways to get in this path of grace. It's only ways of we're positioning ourselves to experience God, to learn from God, to get to know God. When we know God, that's where we just move from this place of delight, where there's a new thing that's just going to break through. And even God is coming. He says, I don't desire the sacrifices. I don't desire all the stuff. I desire your heart. And this is what we experience. This is what's happening in our lives. This is what's happening in my life. As I press in a bit, as I read my word, the Bible, and say, Lord, I want to know you, God. I want to know you like David. I want to know and say that God is my salvation. He's my light. He's my breakthrough. He's my life. And fasting is never a nice thing. It's a good thing. But I just moved from this stuff, the duty, and I said, Lord, I just want to delight in you. I want my heart to connect with you. Because I had glimpses of your glory in my life. I had glimpses of this glory and it blew my mind. I had glimpses of the love of God. I remember in India, I shared it here in our church, where I stood there in front of a guy in the field on our way to a village in the Himalayas. where I stood with the interpreter and just talking to this guy that's selling stuff in the mountain. And he was just sharing, he say he's afraid, and now he was sharing us what is how he's running his shop, and every night he's packing everything away. And suddenly I felt the love of God coming over me for this person. And I said to him, man, you're just so afraid. You got robbed 2 weeks ago. Your brother has passed away. Your parents, they are afraid. They just want another child. They can't have another baby. The interpreter, as he was here, he said, Yaku, how do you know all this stuff? I said, man, I don't know what's happening. I just know this the love of God for this person, and he want to touch this man. And a week later, he gave his heart to the Lord. He said, I want to follow God. Because he asked me, he said, Yaku, how do you know this stuff? I said, man, I don't know. I don't know. This was a unique, it was a different than anything else I've experienced in my life. Standing in that mountain. Later, I just took a break. I said to the guy, to Azu and the guy, I said, I need a break here. Because there's the love of God flowing to this guy, and I'm in the middle of something, and I don't know what is happening. And I'm just sharing words. I'm just sharing stuff. And this guy is saying that it's true. I said, man, this is crazy. And it just went on and on and on. And that was a glimpse of God. And you know, yes, Lord, that I can that night I was just sitting there in the room, everyone sleeping, and I'm just thinking about this day. And say, Lord, I delight in you, God. You do things that no one can do. You bring joy that nothing can bring. You bring a satisfaction that I can't get anywhere else. But the moment I shift my awe, I'm not in awe of God and in awe of stuff, in awe of stuff in this world, then these things, prayer, reading my word, coming to church, it feels like a duty. But when I move the awe to God, it's a delight. And God comes and He does amazing things. Amen. Let us stand. I just want you just to, in your own words, we know the things that pulls on our hearts. We know the things that we want, things that we desire. There's someone that went to the Grand Canyon. Oh, actually, there's a lot of people go to the Grand Canyon, and they just love to stand there and to look at it. Everything is amazing. I see this piece of nature. And then someone else said, but, you know, I can stand there on that edge. But I don't feel afraid. Actually, if I fall into the Grand Canyon, I'm going to die. Because there's drops and drops. But I'm not afraid. We can all go and we can stand there and we can look at it, and it's amazing. And that's why they can enjoy the Grand Canyon. If they fall into the canyon, the person's probably going to die. And for me, it just reminded me, sometimes we are so afraid to get close to God. We are so afraid to get close for what's going to be exposed, what's going to happen. Must I really deal with this thing? Must I really stop that? And then I realized God is saying, I just want your heart, man. I just want you to come to me. Don't think about the stuff. Don't think about the sacrifices. First, just come. And that's how it happened for me. The moment I started delighting myself in God, some of these other things started fading away. Some of the other desires, it started fading away. And I realized that that's true. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He gives you the desires of your heart. Actually, some of those desires, it changed. And there's a place where I can delight in God. We're going to sing another song. I really want you to just to say, Lord, I want to come to you, God. Maybe reading the Bible, coming to church, fasting. Maybe these things are, when you hear them, you don't like it. I want to encourage you, say to God, Lord, I want to know you. That is my prized possession. I want to know you, God. When I read my Bible, I want to know you. When I come to church, I want to experience you, God. We bring these things before God, and God will do something amazing in our lives and continue to do it. Amen. But let's just worship and bring our hearts before God.